T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So far through 4 days, what have you liked from your pitching group, kind of getting to see them on the slope?
That, for one, seeing them on the slope, and just the intent behind what we're doing. Obviously, we scheduled our sides with 2 days in between, so they are able to do that, so getting a little bit more of the workload. And just the intent behind what they're doing is what's really exciting right now.
Thought process in kind of that intent and trying to make it, some players have said game-like, you know, trying to have go in there with a plan. Just sort of what's the thought process behind that, even this early in camp?
There's not much time to get ready for camp, so anytime we can be direct about a certain thing they need to be working on, we want them to be able to, you know, talk about it just a little bit as we're getting to know them as well. But again, just the 2 days in between being the big factor in it, to where they can get a little bit extra work with what they're doing and have enough time to recover for the next time they get off the mound.
We talked to Keone earlier in the week, and he told us how, like, you were one of the first guys he met in baseball. Where have you seen him from where he was then to where he is now, kind of mature and evolved?
You know, one of the things with Keone, coming in from the junior college that he came into, we talked a little bit about just him being raw tools, having raw tools, and just over the years him refining them because of how much he cares about his craft. That's been unbelievable to watch over the years with him.
Chris Archer said that you've encouraged him to basically attack with his stuff, use his stuff. Where do you see him, I guess, at where he's at? He's trying to figure some things out, yet he's got still some of the best stuff out there.
No, yeah, it's just maximizing the strengths. You know, it's some of the things that we talked about from the beginning for the entire group, not just him. Just maximizing the strengths, maximizing where to use his stuff, and doing more of it. You know, obviously there's other things that you're going to work on, but that's the number one goal for all of our guys right now.
Oscar, when you're taking stuff, the analysis or numbers, Rapsodo, TrackMan, what have you, how are you able to sort of explain that to players in a way they can understand? What's kind of your thought process with doing that?
No, absolutely, yeah. We actually started with just letting these guys know what that information is, what they were going to see out there. The worst thing we wanted to do is put stuff out there, and then they ask questions like, okay, why is all this out here? How is it going to help me?
Yeah.
So what we did, we had more of a meeting, a classroom session, just getting guys to understand, you know, what kind of information you can get off a Rapsodo unit, what can the benefits of an edgetronic camera and how it can help us tunnel pitches. So it's just the explanation of it early on that really clarified it for those guys. And so now they're asking questions, which that's exactly what we want.
When did you really become familiar with that or start digging into that?
You know what? It started in 17 when I coordinated for the Seattle Mariners. It was something that they wanted to really start getting into, that which they weren't. You know, and one of the things when I got the job was, hey, this is what we want our guys to start feeling comfortable with, start seeing it. So you need to learn it, so the coaches learn it, and the players learn it.
Was that easy for you? Difficult?
Something new is not always easy, you know, but it was something that took us about a year as a collective staff and organization to get comfortable with. You know, but once we got that information and we learned how to simplify it for the player, it became a lot easier for the coaches and for everybody else.
Are you in a spot with the guys where you sit down with them and review everything, or do you kind of leave it open on them to come and ask you questions or ask Mess questions or Raz or anything?
I think the first time through the bullpens, mm-hmm. we were collecting information, trying to get baselines off of what we were seeing, and obviously the baselines from last year of what the pitch characteristics were. And then afterwards, we gave them the liberty to come in and ask us if they want to review it. Okay. But we also asked some of the guys to come in that we saw, you know, something that popped up that we think we can address at the moment.
Okay. Where's Kyle Crick at this point as far as his health and his pitching form so far?
You know, so far so good. I mean, obviously he's coming in just trying to get ready like everybody else, you know, trying to refine some of the stuff that he was working on last year. And, you know, coming into camp, he's almost at the spot where he wants to be.
I see your video on almost everybody on their side. Mm-hmm. How much of that is for you, and how much of that is something that you share with them?
It's for me. It's for the players. It's for us to analyze and see. When the players want to sit down, we go over it together. you know, and then we come with a plan from there. You know, we look at some things that I may see, they may say, you know what, that was maybe something that just happened out of nowhere. Or in some instances, he's like, you know, something that looked out of the ordinary looked really good. So let's go ahead and try this the next time out.
Oscar, players have talked about, you know, they like the more individualized approach this spring. I mean, a lot of new faces, a couple dozen players ago. How do you make sure that you have, you know, a game plan for all these guys for spring?
That happened. I think we talked about it. That happened as soon as I got the job, going over their information, having a lot of conversations with Mess. Obviously, him being here last year and understanding a lot of these guys would make some tick, some of the things they started working on and some of the things that he wanted to move forward with as a group. So that's how we brought it up. It started from the beginning, breaking down the information, watching video, and just analyzing stuff, but also letting the guys be themselves and then going from there. You know?
What was your impression from watching video and then seeing him in person, the kind of stuff that Mitch Keller has, because it could be really, really good if you can kind of figure out, maybe especially learn from that major league debut?
It was exciting. You know, obviously, stuff doesn't look the same on video than it does when it's live right in front of you. But it was just exciting, you know. Live arms that we have and some of the things that these guys are doing and some of the things that they've already taken upon themselves to make adjustments are going well at the moment.
With all the data you accrue on guys, you have a guy like Joe Musgrove that can throw up to six different pitches. Mm-hmm. Can it get overwhelming at times trying to analyze all of that, or is it that much different than a guy who maybe just throws two or three?
It just goes back to, you know, going to their strengths. What are they doing well and doing a little bit more of it? And sometimes minimizing or maximizing some pitches, you know, but it's broken down the same. And, you know, you go off of the information that you see and also their feel. That's the one thing I don't want guys to forget, myself to forget, Mess to forget as we're working with guys. It's also on the feel that they have for their stuff. You know, a lot of the times, like, these guys either got drafted or ended up becoming who they are because of something they did. We don't necessarily want to take anything away or add anything, but just that's what we maximize what they already have and try to make it better.
Obviously, Trevor Williams with the foundational changes that he's made. Mm-hmm. You said he got to work with him in Arizona. Mm-hmm. How much have you seen, like, some progress there so far?
A lot of it was, you know, the bottom half part of his delivery, and it's something that he attacked over the offseason pretty well. So when I showed up and we started kind of working with each other in Arizona, it was more so just looking at what he did and you know, seeing that nice adjustment that he did make and just making sure for myself now maintaining it as we're here.
A lot of guys have mentioned your biomechanics background. I tried to do some digging via the Google one. I didn't come up with much. What is your biomechanics background?
You know what? When I was in Seattle, I had an opportunity to work with some really, really intelligent coaches. Brian DeLunas was one of the guys that really helped me out when it came to breaking down biomechanical analysis and watching the video and certain movements that should happen. And the other thing was just going around with all the seminars going around with it. I would take it the new age of baseball and the information and guys like Greg Rhodes who have On Base U and breaking down deliveries. That's really something that really helped out. That started in 17 with Seattle when we started going to different seminars, different universities, different styles of coaching, whether it, not just in baseball, but maybe going into the golf realm a little bit, just how the body moved.
Do you do like the certification thing? I think that's something Eckstein did on the hitting side.
Yeah, I did it. I did it On Base U certification with, okay, Dr. Greg Rhodes, yeah. As well.
Yeah.
I would say a master, still learning, and I'm always going to be seeking out the information to try to learn as well. The only thing I have behind is an exercise science major in college, so that was one of the things that from the beginning intrigued me as a student, as a player when I was in Arkansas Little Rock. Absolutely. I mean, that was why I went to school for it. Yeah.
What did you want to do other than become a major league pitching coach? What was the goal doing that?
I wanted to teach players to maximize their abilities in ways that I couldn't.
Some of your guys have talked about the stuff that you've brought in terms of the data analysis and all that. They haven't seen it before. Does that present some difficulties in catching them up to speed, but also benefits of you get to put your hands on them first in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely, in both regards there. But it's just like I said, early on and how we attacked it, I think was the best way of just informing these guys, letting them know what they're going to see, what the information means, before we even start talking to those guys about it. The last thing we wanted is to start talking about something they really didn't understand and lose them from there potentially.
you teach the class in the classroom setting thing you mentioned?
I did, yeah. I did this last time.
PowerPoint?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You've got guys that are established major league veterans. You've got some young guys that are not established. You've got some guys coming back from injuries. As far as your rotation goes, who have you penciled in? Who is fight like, or how many guys are fighting positions? How many spots do you feel like are open in the rotation?
I mean, as of right now, we're still evaluating. Obviously, conversations with Shelty as we keep going along are going to get closer to that, you know. But as of right now, we're still kind of analyzing what we're going to do from there.
Do you feel like you have three or four spots that are at least guys penciled in because of their pedigree?
I think it could be something like that. But I think we're going to be able to see a little bit closer to at least the light BPs and going to the games. Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, DeLunas is the guy who worked with Kelly, right?
Yes. Yes.
All about Keller?
I called him right away. He worked with Keller. I think he worked with Hartlieb.
Oh, yeah.
So it was one of those things where I made the phone call right away, and then I said, "What do you got? What made the change? What was some of the things you worked on?" And to continue those things that made him who he was and why he signed in the first place. Yes.
Important to you to connect with those guys who are working with, you know, off-season pitching coaches and whatnot. Was that part of the process when you're kind of onboarding here?
Yeah, especially if they're willing to open up and do so, you know, no problems connecting with those guys, because I think that's the easiest way to get buy-in from guys and just letting them know is that we're here to help them. It doesn't matter where their information comes from. The more information you can get, the better you can analyze what they're doing.
What was the scouting report versus first impressions you mentioned?
The scouting report that I got, I mean, I got it from Brian as a high school kid going to work with him, and the whole thing was just getting him to, you know, engage his lower half and becoming the power pitcher. You know, and obviously now coming in, I'm seeing that power pitcher effect, and, you know, just refining a couple of things that I think we can get him to where we want him to get.
How much is the change up part of that?
I think not only the change up, but just the consistency with everything else in locations.
Talk about the importance of gaining the pitcher's trust in early days of spring and developing that relationship so quickly as a new regime.
That's the number one thing that needs to happen. I mean, that is the number one thing that needs to happen is building trust for these guys and just making sure we're building relationships and getting to know them as people and not just as players. I think that was the first thing that we did as a group, and, you know, it's really helped out with the conversations. Going out and flying to different cities, making sure we're visiting some of the guys, watching them and just not really instructing, but just talking, you know, and showing the interest that we want the best for them going forward.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.